are in The Secret.
Ah, the fallout in D.C. over the senator-elect from Massachusetts, Scott Brown, and the latest as to the goings-on in Haiti and some of the efforts. They're actually still finding people, believe it or not. They haven't completely called off rescue efforts. I have some interesting information on that. You know, on this show, I talk about it all the time. Hey, I am all for small government, baby. We don't need a lot of hooks into our chili, if you know what I'm saying. I talk about the internet, for example, probably ad nauseum. You know that's one of my pet peeves. We don't need regulations for the internet. It's free. It's open. We like it the way it is. So when this whole net neutrality started coming up and the FCC has been discussing the internet, and they've been talking about it on the Hill now, as we know, for a while, it scared me to death. Who better to have on the show than Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty? He knows all about this subject. Hey, Andrew, thanks for hanging late for us on America Tonight.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right, the great news is that when you have an avalanche of people, as you know, signing petitions and are upset about issues like the internet, which is so important and so vital, and the technology is only growing there. When you have over 10,000 Institute for Liberty supporters that are actually filing comments with the FCC, I mean, that says something. You've made some noise there, haven't you? Does that make the FCC a little bit uncomfortable?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. One would think that anytime one would generate that many comments into a docket, and that's what these things are called when you have a sort of regulatory comments. It's that the big file is called a docket. Anytime you generate that many comments, you would think that the FCC would say something about it. But in this instance, they almost entirely ignored the comments that we submitted along with Americans for Prosperity, who submitted 22,000 comments in their own right, and instead focused on the 13,000 comments in support of their move to regulate the internet filed by this group called Free Press.
Yeah, and behind the move to regulate the internet, in your opinion, Andrew, what's that all about?
Well, there are any one of a number of reasons. The ones that we sort of focus on basically is on this issue of control. You have folks in government who there's a phrase that I like to use. If you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And you have folks whose general propensity is towards greater regulation of things that are in the marketplace. You also have folks who really want to out and out control the means by which information is sent out. And we are certainly seeing that possibility. These are the same folks who, for instance, want to impose a fairness doctrine on American talk radio once again.
Boy, no kidding. So glad that so far nothing, there hasn't been a lot of movement on that, obviously. That was stymied, and shockingly, Obama was backing that, ooh, no fairness doctrine.
That's sort of my point is that in the end, one of my great fears is that given what happened in Massachusetts yesterday, and the role that the internet is playing in informing a lot of the opposition, you know, given that the administration has already made no secret that they want folks to inform on people who are spreading what they see as misinformation or sending out fishy emails. Mm-hmm. I see this move to regulate the internet as part and parcel of that general thrust along the lines of the Fairness Doctrine.
Yeah, and when they talk about network neutrality regulations, for people who are just hearing this, explain that a little bit, and we have, but explain a little bit more, Andrew.
Sure, it's really pernicious in that, you know, or William, in that it really isn't fair. Essentially, the feds, the folks at the FCC, want to force internet service providers to treat each and every piece of information not the same. I don't think that's quite the way to put it. But they essentially want to substitute their own judgment in what ought to be prioritized over an internet service provider's network. You know, substitute their judgment for that of the internet service provider themselves. So if I am spending, if I'm spending $10 a month, to get broadband access, mm-hmm. my request for, bandwidth should be treated the same way as someone who spends $1,000 a month who has legitimate business needs for demanding that bandwidth. And we know that, you know, folks do pay more to have greater access to the web.
Yeah, and I think it's control. It's a money thing. It's a power grab. This really stretches in a lot of different directions. I loved your analogy, your comparison to the fairness doctrine, because it definitely has shades of that. Absolutely. And I don't think a lot of people realize what's going on. That's what's great about what you're doing, because the word is getting out, and the more a media exposure, let's face it, and the more, you get some headlines, the more people grasp the idea of what could slip away with heavy regulations as far as the internet's concerned. And it would be our liberties, depending on how far it goes, too, down the line. And we don't know where that end is, do we?
No, I mean, we really don't. And it's one of those things where I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not a black helicopter sort of a guy. But if the administration hadn't already demonstrated their willingness to make moves in these directions, you know, you have folks who are supposedly incredibly interested in protecting folks' First Amendment rights, and yet there they are sort of creating massive databases of essentially, I would think, people who they view as enemies. It really paints a very disturbing picture about how far they might be willing to go.
Yeah, no kidding. So you had the 10,000 that we mentioned, the docket, the comments. What do you keep doing to make noise on this? What are some of the other things you're looking at doing? Anything down the road?
Well, no. Well, right now, I mean, the wonderful thing is that thank heavens we have a series of laws which allow these regulatory processes to be slowed down considerably. And despite the fact that the FCC really answers to no one other than Congress, you know, the bottom line is that they have certain procedures that they follow. And so last week's comment period, or the end of the comment period that ended last week, opens us up for a series of response comments. And so we will engage the public to go and respond to the other side once again. And at the same time, you know, we're relaunching the Internet Freedom Coalition with our partners at Americans for Prosperity. We're going to continue to inform people that way, mm-hmm. and really make sure that there is a cadre of hardcore individuals who are really willing to go out and make sure that the Internet is kept free.
And somebody interested in doing this can go to your website, right?
We're getting ready to actually launch the Internet Freedom Coalition's website, but they can visit the Institute for Liberty's website. We have a instituteforliberty.org/openinternet, and they can come and sign up there and submit their names to us that way.
Excellent. Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty. Keep fighting the good fight in the trenches, and thanks for hanging with us here on America Tonight.
Thanks. Anytime you want me back on, just let me know.
We'll do it, definitely. Interesting, because so many of us, I mean, the Internet, as we said, you look at technology and where we're headed in the technology sector, and boy, the last thing you want is a government focused on what's happening there. And as Andrew said, the differences for broadband access for somebody who pays just a little bit versus somebody who pays more, and how that can certainly change things. Stay with us. We're going to talk about teens in crisis next on America Tonight.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's AirAndAqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AaronAqua.com. Purify your life today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Boy, it's rough to be a teenager these days. We know that certainly. We see with the teenage girls the stress, the anxiety that happens, the weight, the looks, the pressure. Not that, you know, decades ago people weren't dealing with some of the same things, but it's just increased to a much higher level, and you can feel that vibration, I think. And sadly, when we see teen suicide on the rise and kids just struggling, to stay in the game, and the emphasis that now has happened with material things. I was out somewhere at a high school the other day, and I was talking to a group of kids, and boy, it was all about some of them who had coaches since they were 5 years old. And I think that's great if the child wants to do that, be the tennis pro, be the soccer player. But you could tell it with a couple of them anyway, there was some sort of anxiety sort of laced with that idea that they had to reach this pinnacle that they felt, you know, they kind of had like stage parents. So there's a lot of different layered levels here, I think. Perfect time to have Vinay Rogers on with us. She runs a terrific thing called Contact Crisis Line. So more than me, she certainly would know the outpouring and the increased number of calls, I'm sure, that they're receiving from these so-called stressed-out teens. Vinay, thanks for hanging with us here on America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate, for having me on tonight. I appreciate it.
Let's talk about this. Since you started Contact Crisis Line, what have you found? What have you seen, like, from last year and now heading into this year? What's been the big difference with the calls and the teenagers that you can see?
Well, you know, Kate, the majority of our calls that come in from our teens are those that are dealing with high levels of stress. Our young folks are just overwhelmed. As you say, they've got lots of pressures from parents and coaches and a lot of different activities that they're involved in. What we primarily try to do is we try to get to them in their school, in their setting, to talk with them about ways they can cope. But the issue is that our kids are coping with a lot more than you or I ever had to deal with at 14 and 15 years old. They've got life coaches, some of them, at 14 and 15 years old. You know, some of these kids at 16 and 17 already have a business card. You know, so they're really living an adult life when right now all they should be focused on is school and how do I get more school and where am I going to go to college?
No, I so agree. How did this happen? It's a cultural thing, right?
It is a cultural thing. And I think what it is that you look at maybe the parents of some of these young folks and, you know, these were the things that we didn't have. You know, my mom or dad wasn't able to go to all of my games. You know, I wasn't able to participate in 5 different sports at the same time. And so we've got more affluent parents who have more time to do more things with their teens and engage them in more things and to give them what they feel like sometimes maybe they didn't receive as a teenager. And so it's almost overdoing what some people may have felt in their growing up they missed out on. And the teenagers are really the ones who are suffering because they don't know how to handle all that high level of stress. And, you know, at this age, they're really not developmentally able to do it. So it's not just their circumstance or culture. It's that a teenager, from a brain development standpoint, isn't able to handle that high level of stress and anxiety that's being put on them, oftentimes by parents and then, of course, by society in general.
Yeah, and you see, I'll tell you, it's a sad thing, and I can tell. I think medication, when it's necessary, I understand that. But it seems like a lot of kids, when they are medicated, are almost zombie-like because they're being treated for so many different things, and especially the level of depression. I noticed that when I've gone into some of the schools, and I feel so awful when I leave. I mean, the kids, I feel like I'm reaching some of the kids in just talking about life things, but at the same time, it saddens me to see that. Have you noticed that? I mean, have you seen that too? And all the things that we're talking about here, that there is also this thing to just treat things with pills. Like I said, I think medication is necessary in some cases, but boy, it seems like that's just, you know, a pill for everything.
Well, and that's true. I think that's, you know, pretty much where a lot of things in our communities are going is, oh, there's a pill for this, there's a pill for that. And every other commercial you see on television is a different medication that you can take if you have these laundry list of symptoms. And, you know, oftentimes we look at our teenagers and we think, oh, well, if we can just get them to get over this moment, not realizing that this moment becomes a lifetime if they don't know how to appropriately handle it. And what really happens, Kate, is all of a sudden a teenager realizes that if I just take another drug, I can get through another day.
Mm.
So we're starting to create behaviors of coping in our young people that, you know, okay, well, if I'm supposed to take this drug to make me feel, you know, better when I'm depressed, what happens when, you know, I'm sad? What happens when I'm nervous? And then that's when we see that, you know, increase in drug abuse and alcohol use to cope with the stresses of everyday life because they're already on medications. And that tends to be the first answer for, you know, especially those who can afford it. And oftentimes in those cases, even for those who can't because they can't afford the proper therapy and treatment for their teen, and the medication tends to be easier. And so that's why our program is really important because we're in the school teaching them and educating them that there are better ways that you can cope with the stress and that there are positive things that you can do to cope with it so that they're not ending up on a lot of medications, especially when it's not necessary, and that they don't believe that that is the coping mechanism that's going to work for them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Tell us about a little bit more about Contact Crisis Line. It's free. It's confidential. So I guess the great thing is teenagers, because they're, you know, they're going to tell their parents, geez, can I call this helpline? It's that they need an ear. Is that the idea? They can reach out to you guys.
That's absolutely the idea. Our crisis helpline has been around for 42 years, and and the majority of our calls are coming from adults, individuals dealing with any number of daily life challenges. I mean, the fact is, Kate, we don't always deal with our life situations very well either. And so our crisis helpline is set up so that for any person who's going through a situation from a teen to a senior and really needs to, whether they're in their closet, their car, you know, they're standing in a parking lot, they need to talk through what's going on in their life. They need resources. They need support. They need to get emergency assistance. They can call our number 24 hours a day, and there is someone there taking that call to walk them through, you know, first of all, what is the issue, you know, second of all, how, what can we solve, what can we handle today, and then coming up with a plan of action, which can be any number of things. And a lot of times for our young teenagers, it is, let's get you in touch with the right adult in your life. That's not always mom or dad. Sometimes it's a teacher. Sometimes it's a grandparent. Sometimes it's a neighbor. But who is that person in your life that you're going to identify as an adult who can take those next steps with you and or for you so that you can get the help that you need? So it's really sometimes a starting place for the people that call. Sometimes we get to them in the middle, but the whole focus of our organization is intervention and prevention on suicide, because suicide is the third leading cause of death for teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want to focus on, you know, how do we help the whole family? Sometimes it's not the teen, it's mom and dad that need to call, and that happens a lot. You know, we'll get a call on the teen line, and it'll be a parent who says, you know, I saw this number on my kid's, we give out key tags. I saw this number on my kid's, you know, backpack or on his keychain. And, you know, I want to know what this is about. And within a minute or two, you know, the person on the phone is talking about the parent and what's really going on with the parent and how that can be impacting the whole family. So it's really important that everyone know you really need to talk about these things that are going on so you can start talking about solutions and options to get to a place of being healthy.
Boy, well said. Bene Rogers, president of Contact Crisis Line, and you can check it out by going to the three W's, www.contactcrisisline.org. Bene, thanks for what you're doing, and let's hope a lot of kids keep reaching out, and parents and whoever needs the help, because to get that suicide rate down, I think would be a great goal for 2010 for sure.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Kate, for having me on tonight.
Absolutely. You have a good one. All right, boy, such a serious subject and near dear to me, I think, because kids, I mean, this is the future. This is what we're talking about. We talk about politics and all of us with how we feel about keeping the nation, keeping America, that free and open society and the way we have it, and, you know, how I rail about not having a lot of government intervention. Here you go. You know, this is the future. These are the future, the kids, and certainly don't want them stressed out on drugs and feeling suicidal. Stay with us. Odds and Ends next.
Have you ever needed something but you forgot? You know, some of our Life Change Tea customers forget to order, and then they ask us for some rush shipping. What if it was automatic? You know, no gimmicks, just your product smooth sailing to you automatically. And what if there was free tea? In AutoShip, there's some free tea, so call us for details. That's 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our AutoShip program has no lock-ins, and you can cancel at any time. Free tea. If AutoShip be, so call us. There's no better way to jumpstart your health. Look us up at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
It's obvious God loves us and has a sense of humor. Why? Because He created peppermint. Hi, this is Dr. Catherine Albrecht for GetMint.com. We all know that mint is fun and delicious, but did you know it's also great for your health? Research shows mint can help soothe a headache or calm an upset stomach. It's antimicrobial and antiviral, so it's perfect for flu season, too. You can use it to chase bugs and mice out of your pantry without toxic chemicals. And kids love its great cool taste. GetMint.com offers quality peppermint and spearmint oils made right here in the USA by fourth-generation mint farmer Peppermint Jim. His pure, pungent mint oils are 100% natural, free from harmful chemicals, and very affordable. So improve your health and spice up your life with natural mint products from GetMint.com or call 1-800-345-9068. That's GetMint.com or 1-800-345-9068 and feel the minty freshness.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Hey, everybody, Kay Delaney, America Tonight, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies wherever you happen to be listening to us. Yo, Christina in Sweden. You know, Christina's getting ready to go to work, and she's listening to America Tonight. Can you imagine? It's complete opposite for the rest of us. And also to all of our friends, like Jackie in Spain, she has her office listening to America Tonight. Wonder if they have to translate a lot of what we say. Speaking of translating, a couple of quick hits for you on odds and ends, and then I promise, Sam, we're going to go to you in Montreal and anybody else who wants to throw in their 2 cents at 800-259-5791. And your 2 cents on what do you think will happen as far as Scott Brown being the senator-elect from Massachusetts? What does this really signal? We talked about it a lot on our last show. And two, what does this mean for the Democrats? What President Obama is saying, he did an interview, and we're going to let you hear a slice of this in our next hour with George Stephanopoulos. And he talked about, first of all, which I thought was great, he talked about not ramming through health care reform without the senator-elect there to vote. So is that a trick or is that for real? Because there are different versions, as you know, in the House and the Senate. And basically, they're kind of both through the halfway process. So technically, semantically, if they did take the vote, the president still wouldn't have egg on his face, if you know what I mean. And again, that's semantics that we're talking here. Bottom line is I don't think there should be any votes. Till he gets there, then there's no problem. So if the president says this, then Congress backs off and they stick to this, and then they move forward and with whatever ends up becoming health care reform. Maybe I said, I mean, you have to be a moron to think there shouldn't be some kind of insurance reform. So make no mistake about it, I think we should have health care reform, and I know many of you listening to me would probably agree on that as well. It's just not the bungled up, nasty mess of the two convoluted bills that we have from the House and from the Senate. I mean, listen, there's time to get feedback from America. Why not? What a novel idea. You can set up a timeline, but you can actually talk to doctors. You can actually gather real hardcore information, then go for it. Doesn't mean it can't be done within the next 6 months, but I think it would be better to whip that agenda around and really get the right kind of reform. That means going after the insurance companies, and that, as we know, is part of the problem because of the lobbyists. Yes, there are new rules on lobbyists, but trust me, there's still plenty of lobbying going on, especially by those in healthcare. So that was the biggest thing, the reaction to Scott Brown, certainly. And then, of course, in Haiti, struggles abound in trying to set up the command center, get the supplies out to the people. There's still a lot of problems with that, knowing where the people need, where the need is, because it's everywhere, and getting the food and water to them, not just once, but being able to supply it, and that's the other thing. So you find somebody who's in great need, and for a day, they have water and food, but then what happens after that? And the answer is, it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot. And that's what's happened, certainly, in Haiti, and that's what you get when you're in an impoverished country like that one, with no real strong government, and the need for somebody to pull this all together. And here we still have the French trying to attack the United States for taking over the situation at the airport, which it's not the time for the blame game. Who cares who's in charge? Who cares? Then do it yourselves. But they don't want to do it. Of course not. And President Preval asked the United States, wants the United States to do that. So give me a break on that one. Let's go to Sam, who's listening to us across the border in Montreal. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Both hunky and dory.
I like it when you say that. That means everything is A-okay.
You know it. They're gorgeous.
Okay, so riddle me this. What's been in the papers, and I've read what's going on in France and the UK and stuff, and I usually read a lot about Canada, but I'm curious the last day or two, what has been the main stories in the front page? Has it been about Haiti and aid and all that sort of stuff, and Afghanistan and whatnot has kind of been shoved to another page or two?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of, like I said, Montreal has a big Haitian community, so a lot of people are trying to, you know, there are certain rules that Immigration Canada has in order to bring a family member over, you know. And, you know, some of the Haitians say, can you waive those rules so we can bring our family members over?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of stuff. So that's, you know, that's been on the front page and, you know, and all kinds of fundraising. And,
So are they waiving the rules just like the United States is doing? They're calling it like an 18-month timeout. Or is Canada doing the same thing or no, or you don't know?
Don't know. But the head of the opposition here in Quebec, a lady, or as someone called her, a man in drag, with all the respect to drag queens. Her name is Pauline Marois. She said, well, maybe Quebec should, say to heck with the federal government rules. Bring all the people over here. To heck with the federal government rules. You know, bring all the Haitians over. So I'm thinking, lady, you trying to get votes already? Nice try. But, when the opposition party in the National Assembly, that would be like our state senate here in Quebec, you know, gets involved, so like something's not kosher here. But I mean, they also took a poll. Okay, the provincial government gave, I forgot how much. So some people said, do you think that's enough? some people are saying, hey, we got problems here in Quebec. Why should we give money to people in Haiti? You know, and unfortunately, that also, you know, sparked the debate. It's go.
I bet.
It's like, okay, they come over here and they see our apartment, you know, what we think is a rundown apartment to them would be a palace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to bring that up is, you know, put, you know, it's like, oh, please, you know, but I mean.
Well, the thing is, again, that's you sort of put that in perspective there. I understand when people are saying, well, what about the people here? It's interesting that we can all reach out to Haiti. But,
yeah.
I mean, Haiti's in crisis. These people, they're living on $2 a day if they even have that.
Right.
It's the worst of the worst. 80% of the country living on $2 a day. So it's a humanitarian thing. It's like you have to put a timeout on that, too, as
right.
well.
Right.
You know,
right.
Hey, you want to give $10 to that, you give $10 to that. And it doesn't mean that the same people who are doing that aren't trying to help homeless in the U.S. or homeless in Canada
right.
or any of those other causes that are out there.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from, but I mean now, I mean it's still the lead story like on all the local news and the national news here in Canada, this morning the national news on a show called Canada AM, the equivalent of your Good Morning America and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The lead story was not the Haitian earthquake, but a certain senatorial race in Massachusetts. And I went like, wow. I mean, it's got to be heavy stuff to get the earthquake pushed to be the second story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Yeah, and like, I remember, and then, you know, they were talking about it on some of the talk shows here this morning. Now, how do you think that'll affect healthcare in the States? So it's one person got on and said, what do I care? I got my own problems. You think I care what goes on in the States? You know, so it's like, in a way they're right, in a way they're wrong, because, like I said before, a lot of people can't afford to wait for certain treatment. They go to the States where they know they can get a PDQ, even if it means shelling out a few bucks. But if by some fluke, this healthcare bill does pass, would that mean, excuse me, if a Canadian goes down to, let's say, New York for, say, some kind of hip replacement or knee replacement, does that mean they're going to have to ask, excuse me, do you have health care insurance first?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Is that going to be the bulk of the, if it
but,
does?
But this is the problem. First of all, it's nowhere near that right at this stage of the game.
Right.
But the biggest problem in the United States with what's being proposed is taxing people who don't have health insurance. So you decide you can't afford whatever version the government has or whatever, you don't want it, it's too bad, you have to have it or you'll be taxed. The IRS is like, they don't have enough that they can't deal with. They're going to be burdened with trying to figure that out. So there are other problems connected with it, and most of it is, it goes back to the same thing, money, the premiums and the taxing and all that.
So you mean Joe Lunchbucket,
mm-hmm.
who works in a factory but doesn't
yep.
have, he's got to have to get it no matter
yep.
what?
Yep, that's right. And he might, remember, I don't care what someone makes, you take out the taxes. Taxes are starting to get pretty chunky.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start to take out the taxes, and how many mouths does he have to feed? Does he have a mortgage? And so maybe the person wants to go without health care. But then the argument is, well, he should have it, and that's our fault, because why doesn't everybody have affordable health care coverage? And the answer to that, Sam, is simple. It's because of the insurance companies and the outrageous premiums and the lack of competition and the stranglehold that they have over people's policies.
And here's the funny part. I watch your TV commercials and all these... Okay, that's the music. I'll talk about that tomorrow then.
I love that. We've got a topic tomorrow. The TV commercials that Sam sees across the border that represent the U.S. and healthcare. Hang with us. Stretch Drive time. We're going to rifle off some interesting stuff.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from 4 levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy 8 flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
We haven't had a blunder of the day in a while, so I thought it was appropriate when I came across this a week or so ago to bring it up. And I checked with some people that I know in Los Angeles to say, you know, is this really true? I mean, are you kidding me? You know, you go to L.A. and people do the touristy things, the Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm, go to Malibu, just think they're going to see some celebrity, go to the Chinese Grauman Theater, and see the stars, Walk of Fame thing, and the map of the celebrities and their homes and whatnot. But can you imagine for $65, no joke, if you go to L.A., you can go and see L.A.'s gangland, basically. So passengers pay that kind of money. They sign waivers acknowledging they could be crime victims, and they could be killed, something could happen to them, but they're willing to take the risk. So they're there with tattooed ex-gang members who negotiated a ceasefire among rivals in some of the most violent gangland spots in America, and they're taking these LA gang tours. They think it could be a thriving venture that gives... Look out for those bullets that gives the folks from the Midwest and the East Coast and the South and everywhere else and overseas, a real glimpse into what gang life would be. And they're trying to convince people that gang-plagued communities aren't really as hopeless as you would think, and that sometimes you see in the movies, right? Because there's this fascination with gangs, and geez, there might be a few positive things. Okay, this is too hilarious. If it was so positive, then why do you have to sign a waiver that explicitly says that I might be a crime victim? I could get raped or beaten or robbed because, I don't know, they can't guarantee your safety, and I'm paying $65 for that thrill. I can think of a lot of other things you could do for $65, but you know what? People are doing it. When they first started doing it, just recently, their maiden voyage, if you will, 50 people showed up. They wanted to hear about the notorious gangs, how they got started. They wanted to see the struggling neighborhoods. They wanted to see the bullet-riddled homes. So it's an unmarked charter coach that goes through downtown. And the first thing you see is that concrete riverbed. You'll know what I'm talking about if you've seen The Terminator, even Greece, if you go way back to Greece. And now, of course, there's all kinds of paint, graffiti all over the place. The street gang symbols and the tagging crews, right? And then they go on to Central Jail. They go past Skid Row and all the homeless and into South Los Angeles. And, of course, that's a breeding ground for some notorious Latino gangs that have really lately been, shall we say, acting up. So some of the gang members occasionally will hang out on the corners. Apparently they wave to the people who went through. I don't get it. I don't know. Somebody fill me in. It's called, this is what it's called, the tour. The first in the history of Los Angeles to experience areas that were forbidden. Mm-hmm. Just sign this little waiver here, okay? And I hope nothing happens to you. By the way, in L.A. County, they say they've spent $25 billion fighting gangs. $25 billion. Only to see, and this is the key part here, the number of gangsters double to as many as 90,000. And what the city describes as a sixfold increase in the number of gangs. Oof, man. Let's go to Tomas, who's listening to us in the great state of Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
Well, you know, Kate, those people in Haiti, man, they are just going through hell. I mean,
no kidding.
They, you know, they were at the bottom of the barrel in the whole hemisphere, and then they get hit with this earthquake. And then, like, today, they got hit with what they called a aftershock of, like, 6 point something.
I know.
Which was of an earthquake anywhere else, you know?
Yeah, so, it's crazy.
We had a swing dance over here, and everybody got down. Everybody who did 50 push-ups donated some money. We raised over $200 for Haiti like that.
Woo, that's good. Can we have some applause from the studio audience in Minneapolis? Any money is good money. A creative way to get some bucks for the people of Haiti. Yeah, absolutely. Good for you.
Yeah, and, I was thinking about that election. You know, sometimes we just have to think about the things we know and then make little parallels to other things. And, you know, if you have a platoon sergeant there and he's in combat and there's a battle and, you know, he's got 60 men. And he loses one man, all right? I'm making a little parallel to the Senate. You know, they had 60 seats. They lost one seat. But all of a sudden, you know, your four squad leaders come up to you and say, hey, we've got to change the whole strategy. The tactics are wrong. You know what that's called? That's called a mutiny. Okay?
It is.
I mean, you know, Barney Frank? I mean, right after the election, he was up there saying, yeah, we're going to have to change. Reed was up there, Webb from Virginia.
Yeah.
All of them. Now, they must have planned these little speeches that they were going to say. You know, I'm thinking for the Democrats to lose Massachusetts to some unknown dude in a pickup truck, all right, a couple of months after Ted Kennedy dies, I don't see that happening without an effort being made not to make an effort, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. And they did make an effort, no.
No, they didn't. I mean, the only person who flew out there was Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Where was, you know, Howard Dean and all these other people?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that there's a power play going on. And I looked at this this article. I think I sent you a copy. It was by a guy named Mortimer B. Zuckerman. He's the chairman of the U.S. News and World Report.
Yeah, I read it. Mm-hmm.
Right. And he said in the generic vote, the Democrats were ahead like 52% to 30 in the United States. In 1 year, now the Republicans are ahead 48% to 44%, and nobody has ever seen anything like that. There's never been a change like that, that dramatic. So I'm thinking the Democrats are tired of this whole health bill thing.
Yeah, just dump it out. Let's rework it now because we've lost the battle. Forget it.
There was a little power play in there, and you're going to probably see some people, moving on, you know, like that little, what's it, the little guy's name, the aide to Obama?
Robert Gibbs? Rahm Emanuel.
I think he's going to be moving out to Wyoming or something pretty soon because, I think that there's a power play there. They said, you know, this is a great chance for us to spark a little mutiny and tell Obama that, no, we are not going all the way to the left, you know. And we'll see if I'm right or not. But I just don't see how we won Massachusetts without some help from the Democrats, and there had to be a reason for that.
Yeah, interesting. I think they've thrown in the towel, or at least some of them have. You make a great point that nobody but the president was actually there stumping Donna Brazile, who's a big party member and tried to help Gore get elected and has been involved in Democratic politics for a long time and is now a talking head on the tube, said, you know, nobody, she started calling people, and people in Massachusetts said, wow, you're the first person outside of Massachusetts to call me from Washington. And she was stunned by that because Tomas is right. Thanks, Tomas. Tomas is right. They didn't reach out. They didn't throw the vast net that they could have over Massachusetts. They really blew it. If the idea was to think, oh, this is a layup, I said this in our last show because, hey, Ted Kennedy had the seat forever. They haven't had a Democrat in there since 72. We're not worried about it. It was a dumb move, and it just shows again that they're not thinking clearly when it comes to what the people are really feeling across the U.S., because that's still a stunner. Just think Massachusetts, liberal, blue, 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 blue state. How in the world does that happen? Flip me an email, americatonight.net.